Faith looks to the unseen one, to God. And faith specifically looks to God's Word. And you see that all the way through the 11th chapter of Hebrews as he celebrates faith. But specifically now, look at verse 23, and let's just look at Moses' career. And I'll just tell you ahead of time, it is one big illustration of the activity of faith, that faith is an active, dynamic thing in the believer's life. James says, I will show you my faith by my works. What does faith look like? Well, I'll show it to you, James says.
Welcome to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Today we're happy to begin a brand new series through the book of Exodus, and Pastor Scott brings a message titled, The Faith of Moses. We invite you to follow along with us now as we get started.
If you want to take your Bible tonight and turn to Exodus chapter 6, or I maybe should say chapter 5, because I want to glance back at chapter 5. And before we get into chapter 6, I want to take a little time and just think together briefly tonight about Moses' faith and learn a little bit about faith in general by looking at Moses' faith. You know, Moses was a man of faith. It wasn't perfect faith. No one's is. But we should never forget that we have a perfect object of our faith. If your faith is in Jesus, your faith may be weak. It may not be what it ought to be, but the object of your faith, Jesus Christ, is the perfect one. And he's a great pattern for us, Moses is. He was a man of faith. He was afforded a real test of his faith in chapter 5. You remember the chapter began with him going before Pharaoh finally, and going in the power of the Lord's command. You go tell Pharaoh, thus says the Lord. And Moses stood before Pharaoh and spoke the majestic terms, thus says the Lord. And to faith, I mean, that's spine tingling. To us who know the Lord, who've realized that this is the word of the Lord, just to hear a thus says the Lord, it thrills us. But it didn't thrill Pharaoh. And that which faith delighted in, thus says the Lord, why unbelief scoffed at and ridiculed. And he faced, laughter, scoffing, mocking, ridicule, and ultimately persecution. Pharaoh said, let my people go, forget it. And he, in fact, increased the oppression on the people. And by the end of the chapter, you remember, Moses had not only faced the unbelief and ridicule of Pharaoh, but he faced the resentment of Israel, God's people. And it was a real challenge to his faith. And chapter 6 is going to be a great affirmation of his faith, and his faith will be strengthened in this time. And you know, I would just point out that life isn't an even keel. There are times when our faith is tested, and there's times when our faith is strengthened, and sometimes they're simultaneous, in fact, because trials don't destroy faith, they purify faith. But just the same, there are times when we go through real seasons of, you know, being tested, and then there are times when God comes alongside and really buttresses our faith and strengthens us. And that's certainly what I see as I move from chapter 5 to chapter 6 in Moses' life here in Exodus. But before we do that, in fact, we're not even going to get into 6, and we'll just think about that next time. Maybe it'll whet your appetite to read chapter 6 with that in mind. How did God encourage Moses' faith? Because you remember, Moses cried out to the Lord. He knew what to do. Even though he didn't know the answers, he did cry out to the Lord, and he turned back to the Lord, even when he was facing that kind of resentment and even rejection from God's people. But tonight I want to look briefly at Moses' faith from the New Testament. Turn over to Hebrews 11. And I want to look at what God singles out about his faith. And particularly, in a real simple way, and I hope this is kind of memorable for you, maybe we can just take this and and either jot it down mentally or literally and look back at all the verbs that go with faith in Hebrews 11, particularly the segment that deals with Moses. Let me just read the introduction to the chapter. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it, the men of old gained approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. Faith looks to the unseen one, to God. And faith specifically looks to God's word. And you see that all the way through the 11th chapter of Hebrews as he celebrates faith. But specifically now, look at verse 23, and let's just look at Moses' career. And I'll just tell you ahead of time, it is one big illustration of the activity of faith, that faith is an active, dynamic thing in the believer's life. James says, I will show you my faith by my works. What does faith look like? Well, I'll show it to you, James says. And now watch as we look at Moses' life and watch all the verbs that are connected with faith that kind of draw a picture of what faith is like, and we can draw principles from it. And I kind of picture it, each verse is almost a snapshot. You know, sometimes we put together, and it's become, recently, I think it's been a helpful thing, even at memorial services, sometimes people will put together just a collage of a person's life with just a snapshot. And pretty soon as you see, you get a flavor for the person's life. And the same could be said of a video clip. I mean, you know, if you see a special on a biography of someone and just little clips of their life that's on film, and pretty soon you've got a handle on their experience. Well, the Bible's kind of like that with Moses, because it doesn't leave much uncovered. I mean, much left unsaid. It gives enough that you can see the whole sweep of his ministry. Now, it would certainly, if this is all we had, we wouldn't have all that we have from reading the Old Testament. But this New Testament snapshot, 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 you get to see, and particularly where he zeroes in. Verse 23, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents, because they saw he was a beautiful child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he'd grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Considering the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is unseen. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, so that he who destroyed the firstborn might not touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea, as though they were passing through dry land, and the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. Now, let's just look at each verse and just draw a thought from the verbs that are connected with this phrase, by faith, by faith. That's the thing the Holy Spirit's bringing our attention to. Not all the aspects of Moses' character, but faith. And he begins with his parents. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents. By faith, they hid the baby. Why? Because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. Now, when we looked at the history of that, we talked about this, and it wasn't, I'm sure, that they had no fear of Pharaoh. I mean, Pharaoh, his word, ruled in Egypt. But they acted on their fear of God, which was greater than their fear of man. And the fear of God, of course, is a healthy, wholesome, awesome kind of a thing. And so they acted by faith and did the right thing in the face of a man who was a fearful man indeed, Pharaoh. And his edict was very clear. But they acted in contrarily to that because their faith was in God. Well, God rewarded that, verse 24, by faith, Moses. And you remember the story. I mean, he was raised by his parents. I mean, God honored their faith. And they had the privilege of raising then a godly one who turns out to be the deliverer, Moses. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Often, faith will be seen by what it refuses. Think about that. I was talking to a prosperous businessman, and he told me that over the last several years, he has refused in his business to be involved in some things, and he told me what they were. They certainly weren't unethical, and they weren't illegal, and they were things that many Christians would plow right into. And he said, I figure, Scott, that I've passed up at least $1 million in profit by refusing that, he said. And I've been accused of being a prude. And he used that term, and I thought, boy, isn't that the truth? And I'm sure he's accused of that. You know, but I honor the fact that he has refused to involve himself in things that he feels would compromise his testimony. And faith will often be seen by what it refuses. And when you refuse, young people, certain things, you will be called a prude oftentimes. Or whatever. Don't be afraid of what the world and unbelief and maybe even Christian thought thinks of your refusal. Faith will sometimes be seen most clearly by what it refuses. And you refuse something for Christ's sake, and God will honor that. Faith refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to endure ill treatment with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Just as faith will be seen by what it refuses, so it will be seen by what it chooses. Our life is a series of choices, and we're saying no to this and saying yes to that. And we looked at this, and you know, you look at just think of the verbs. He refused all the privilege of being in Pharaoh's home and Pharaoh's son. You know, he walked from that, and he chose to endure ill treatment with the people of God, rather to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Endure. Faith is not afraid of hardships. In fact, Jesus stated it in Matthew 24, and it's pretty much a principle of the scripture, the one who endures to the end, it is he who shall be saved. Real faith doesn't come and go. Real faith endures, and his faith endured the ill treatment with God's people rather than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. You know, faith values that which is eternal rather than that which is temporary. And the little phrase here, the passing pleasures of sin. Proskairos, it's so temporary. It's transitory. That's the idea. It's just, the Bible doesn't deny that sin has its pleasure. It just simply states it's so short-lived. It's so transitory. It's so temporary. And faith recognizes that. Faith, listening to God's word, heeding God's word, chooses to live for that which is eternal rather than that which is temporal. Verse 26, considering the reproach of Christ, greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. Faith considers, and the word for consider here comes from the root of it is to be led. And the idea is to have something led before your eyes and hence the value you place on it to consider or to esteem or to reckon or to count. And Moses counted, he esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. Faith values things differently than this world does. Faith has a different accounting system. Particularly, and notice the context here, verse 26, regarding riches. What is it that's really important? In that conversation I had with the man who had passed up so much money by simply refusing certain aspects of business endeavor, he also talked, and we enjoyed together as we talked about it, the reality of what real riches are. And we need to constantly be reminded of what really is rich and what real riches are. And Moses counted the reproach of Christ as his riches. And then notice, look at that last verb there, looking to the reward. It's a strengthened form of the word heed. Not just look, but to really look, to focus and to heed, hence to be changed by the way you look at things. And he was looking not at the here and now, but he was looking, he was focused on, he was heeding the reward. That's what faith does. The man of faith, the woman of faith, doesn't live for the here and now. The man of faith focuses, he heeds, he looks to the reward. By faith, verse 27, he left Egypt. He left Egypt. Faith will do just that. It will leave things behind. When you come to Christ and you grow in Christ, often what used to really motivate you, you just leave that behind. And sometimes people will question, what are you doing? What are you leaving behind? But faith does that, and it will be known by its what it leaves behind. By faith, verse 28, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, so that he who destroyed the firstborn might not touch them. Faith obeys. He kept the Passover. Now the Passover was what? Just instituted. It wasn't some long big tradition at this point. This was the first one. And God said, here's what I want you to do. And the Bible honors Moses for his faith in obeying, keeping the Passover. And just think, he got to keep the very first one. And Christ is our Passover. And Moses kept the first one by simply heeding, obeying God's instructions. Faith does that. Don't be mistaken on that. Faith heeds God's word. Faith obeys. Faith follows his instructions. And then notice verse 29. And just as verse 21 was, or verse 23, excuse me, the first snapshot was really not Moses, it was Moses' folks. They had faith. Then Moses' whole life was generated by faith. And then look at verse 29. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea as though they were passing through dry land. Moses, of course, had a huge impact on others. And so it wasn't just Moses who operated by faith as he walked through the Red Sea as though it was through dry land, but hundreds of thousands of Israelites are included now who by faith they passed through the Red Sea. And Moses, not only was his faith contagious to his own generation, but he is still teaching us tonight, and we can leave here tonight resolved to live by faith. Faith allows God to do the miraculous, and he did. He parted the Red Sea, and faith is contagious. It's contagious. Now, you see a whole sweep of Moses' career here underlined by this word, by faith. I want us to take some time tonight to just think on that. Faith is a misunderstood term. But the more we can get God's thinking on it and His description of it, the better off we are. We're to walk by faith. We're saved by faith. We're to walk and live by faith. And by faith, we understand that He's coming back for us, and we live in light of His return. We live with similar focus as Moses. That's our calling, to choose, to endure, to see, to consider as God considers, and choose as He would have us choose, to emulate this kind of faith. Father, tonight, we want to thank You that You are God who has spoken. And we, by faith, can know things that we can't see because we know You, the unseen One, and we know Your Word, and it is a sure foundation. And I praise You for those parents of Moses who, centuries ago, by faith, acted and did the right thing, and their fear of You was their motivation rather than the fear of man. And Lord, we rejoice that You gave them a son who was activated by faith, who was animated by faith, whose whole life is described for us in Your Word as a by faith kind of life. And Lord, I pray that we would live that kind of life, that whatever our circumstance, You haven't called us to the same role that Moses had. In fact, no two of us have the exact same role here tonight. But You have called us to the exact same walk in that sense, to walk by faith. And I pray that we would be those who would be known for simply taking You at Your word and living accordingly, and that these verbs that went with Moses' faith would accompany our faith, that we would be able to show our faith to this generation by the deeds and works that it produces. We thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Please stay with us. Pastor Scott will return in just a moment with a preview of our next broadcast. Today's program was titled, The Faith of Moses, a message from our series through the book of Exodus. If you missed a portion of the message heard on the program today, or you'd like to share it with a friend, head on over to downtownbible.org. A free copy of today's entire message is available there for you to stream or download at your convenience. We're excited here at Southwest Bible Church to be able to offer the community what we're calling SW Kids Spring Learning Groups. These learning groups are for children in grades 1st through 5th who are currently enrolled in an online or hybrid school program. Each day includes scheduled schoolwork time, a study from the Bible, breaks, recess, and a special activity once a week. Spring learning groups meet on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday from 8:30 a.m. to 2:45 p.m. For more information, go to our website, swkids@swbible.org, or give the church a call at 503-524-7000. Something we've been making available as a thank you gift to our listeners are USB flash drives loaded with Bible teaching series in their entirety. So, currently, we're offering the entire book of Exodus. That's 52 full-length messages, over 30 hours of clear, Christ-centered Bible teaching on this important book in the Old Testament. We'd like to make these teachings available to you, our listeners. Just make your request along with your gift of any size to the Ministry of Downtown Bible. You can do that during regular business hours by calling 503-524-7000 or by mail at P.O. Box 19191, Portland, Oregon 97280. You can also simply click Contact Us at downtownbible.org anytime. We'd love to put one of these valuable resources in your hands. Downtown Bible only remains on the air through the generous contributions of listeners like you. We'd like to ask you to prayerfully consider partnering with us on a regular basis to help us meet our day-to-day expenses. Now, before we end our time today, let's go to Pastor Scott for a preview of our next broadcast.
And He shall dwell among them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be among them. And He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall no longer be any death. There shall no longer be any mourning, or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." And he said, "Write, for these words are faithful and true." And he said to me, "It is done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to the one who thirsts from the spring of the water of life without cost. He who overcomes shall inherit these things, and I will be his God, and he will be my son." Boy, if you get nothing else tonight from this passage, take that home with you. God says, "I will." He says, "I am, I have, and I will." And he says this to Moses to buttress his faith in a time when he's crying out, "Why, Lord, why'd you even send me?"
Join us again next time as we continue our series through the book of Exodus. Pastor Scott brings part two of the message titled, "I Am, I Have, and I Will." Until then, may the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you.